Good morning. Please have a seat. I want to welcome everyone to this time of worship as we gather here this day. If you are visiting with us this morning, my name is Reverend Michael Mugford, and I am in ministry here at Cole Harbor Woodside United Church, and we are so pleased that you have gathered with us this morning for this service of worship. If you're visiting with us and you would we'd love to have you sign our guest book, let us know you've been here. Guest book is just outside the door of the sanctuary here. If you'd like to join us after service for a time of refreshment, there's coffee and tea in the hall. So when you go out the doors here, go to your left and keep following. You'll see some things set up on tables out there. This is our annual auction today. It's happening this evening. So if you'd like to come out, it's a potluck meal and auction and a lot of fun and laughter and just a great time. So everyone is welcome to join us this evening for that. We begin with a meal and then we move into the auction. And we don't ask our guests to leave an offering at the offering point in the service, but if you would like to, there are guest envelopes there in the pews, and we invite you to fill those out. We'd love to just say thanks for worshiping with us. If you give us your name and address, we'll send you a letter and say thanks very much for joining us for worship. And if you think that Cole Harbor Woodside United Church might be a place where you would like to live out this portion of your spiritual journey, do let me know, because I'd love to be able to talk about all of the wonderful ministries that we have in which to participate. So as we gather this morning, we have begun our worship for the last couple of years with the acknowledgement of place, an acknowledgement of the territory in which we gather. And it's found in your order of service. Just respond with the bold wherever you see that in our order of service this morning. As we gather in this place, we remember with gratitude that we live and worship on lands that are by law the unceded territory of the Wabanaki peoples, predominantly the lands of the Mi'kmaq, Maliseet, and Passamaquoddy. And we acknowledge the people and their stewardship of this land throughout the ages. Cole Harbor Woodside United Church is a safe place for all to regardless of gender identity, race, creed, age, ability, cultural background, or sexual orientation. And as we gather, we light our candles, each to remind us of a different aspect of who we are called to be. We're called to be people of Christ, and so we light our Christ candle first and foremost. We bear Christ's light in our lives and in the world around us. Christ called us to be peacemakers and peace bringers, and we call Jesus the Prince of Peace. And so it is with a prayer for peace that we light our second candle. And our third candle we light in honor of those who serve in our armed forces, both here in our own country and around the world, in places where there is no peace, where they work for the cause of peace in those places on our behalf. We honor and remember those who this day are working as firefighters and EMTs, first responders, peace officers, those who staff our hospitals, emergency rooms, and nursing homes, those who care for us in every aspect of our need when we find ourselves in times of trouble. We honor them and their ministry and their work in our community with the light of this candle. Our opening song this morning is in the hardcover Voices United, number 374 in Voices United, and we'll sing verses 1 and 2. Sarah's going to come and share our call to worship this morning.
God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to God.
Let us give thanks for the goodness of God.
We give our thanks and praise to God.
Thank you very much. Let us join together in prayer this morning. O Holy One, who calls us to leadership, we pray for those who have recently offered themselves to service in our government. As followers of Jesus, may we always seek goodness and justice in our world. Help me to rejoice with those who rejoice, and to mourn with those who mourn. Help me to be thankful for everyone who put their names forward, and those who made sure our votes were counted. But most of all, help me to remember that I live in a place where government transitions are with the marks of millions of pencils rather than the flash of gunfire. And help me to be ready to work with those we have called to lead, to make not only this place more just, more loving, more whole, but to help the whole world to be a just, whole, loving, safe place for all. In Christ's name we pray these things, loving God. May it be so. Amen. That prayer this morning was shared shortly after our election on Monday by our moderator, the Right Reverend Richard Bott. We're going to sing this morning number 509 in Voices United, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky.
I am the sin. This morning's scripture is from 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 1 through 17. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had come to Shechem to make him king. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard this, then Jeroboam returned from Egypt. And Jeroboam and all the assembly of Israel came and said to Rehoboam, "Your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke that he placed on us, and we will serve you," he said to them. "Go away for 3 days, then come again to me." So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam took counsel with the older men who attended his father Solomon while he was still alive, saying, "How do you advise me to answer this people?" They answered him, "If you will be a servant to this people today and serve them and speak good words to them when you answer them, then they will be your servants forever." But he disregarded the advice that the older men gave him and consulted with the young men who had grown up with him and now attended him. He said to them, "What do you advise that we answer to this people who have said to me, 'Lighten the yoke that your father put on us'?" The young men who had grown up with him said to him, "Thus you should say to this people who spoke to you, 'Your father made our yoke heavy, but you must lighten it for us.' Thus you should say to them, 'My little finger is thicker than my father's loins. Now, whereas my father laid on you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions.'" So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day. The king answered the people harshly and spoke to them according to the advice of the young men, "My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions." When all Israel saw that king would not listen to them, the people answered the king, "What share do we have in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Look now to your own house, O David." So Israel went away to their tents, but Rehoboam reigned over the Israelites who were living in the towns of Judah.
Thanks, Lee. The children who are here this morning, would like to come forward, some time together. Good morning. Good morning. How are you this morning? Good? Yeah? Good? Hi. Good morning. So I have a question for you. I would like you to think about your parents or grandparents. And can you think of one thing that's different today than it was when they were your age? What can you think of that's different today? Do you know what's different today? Hi. What's different today than what used to be? Anyone? Okay, folks, we've got to be talking to our kids a little bit more. How about cell phones? How many of you had cell phones when you were these young people's ages? Put your hands up. Look at that. Not a single person out there had a cell phone. How about a tablet? No iPods? No iPads? Okay, how many of you had a computer? No computer. I had a computer. Well, maybe not when I was your age. Okay, maybe younger. Maybe younger brothers. How a dog? Were dogs around back then? Yeah, okay. Dogs are good. So we didn't have iPads and cell phones. Did you have a telephone when you were? Yes? Okay, most of us had telephones. Rotary phones. Do you know what a rotary phone is? It has a dial in the middle. You don't push the buttons and you have to go around. Then you go around and it goes tick, 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 tick. Look it up on YouTube. We didn't have YouTube back then, did we? No, no. We had to tell stories. What did you? An iPhone. Nope, no iPhones when your parents and grandparents were younger. When I have some things over here. Can you pass me some of those things over here? Did you have this? Did everyone have it like a can soda? You didn't have canned soda? No. Some people had canned sodas, right? Bottles, in bottles. What'd you do with the can of soda when you were younger? Threw in the garbage. What? How about what have we got here? We got a plastic container. Did you have plastic containers? Some did, yeah? Yeah? What'd you do with them when you were done with them? Throw in the garbage. That goes in the garbage. Pardon? We didn't recycle. We got other plastic containers there. What about over here? Paper. We got paper. Did you have paper back then? My mother said she had rocks, so I don't know. What'd you do with the paper when you were done with it? Throw in the garbage. Everything went in the garbage. Everything. When I was a young person, my brothers and I would drag 5 bags of garbage down to the street every week. And there were 6 of us in the house. I had to count that. 6 of us in the house. Do you put 5 bags of garbage out? No. Are you allowed to put 5 garbage? No, we're not. In our house, there's 5 of us. Do you know what? We put out 1 bag of garbage. Yeah, 1 bag of garbage for 5 of us. Every 2 weeks, when it goes out, we only put 1 bag out. I don't know how we do it. But you know what we do? We drag a green bin that is full for compost. And sometimes we put out not 1, not 2, but 3 bags of recycling. Plastics and paper and all that sort of stuff. So what do you think? Why are we doing all of that? To save the planet. To help keep our planet safe so we can live on it, right? When I was a kid, my dad had an Oldsmobile Delta 98 with a 460 cubic inch engine that probably got like 3/4 of a mile to the gallon. Right? It was huge. It was like, I don't know, when I was a kid, it seemed like it was 100 feet long. And gas was how much a gallon? 25 cents, 50 cents. Yeah, my very first car, gas was 38 cents a liter. And what's gas prices now? Did you see over here at the Irving? $1.12, $1.14. Why is gas so much more expensive? We're trying to stop climate change. Would anything change if we kept just putting this and this and this and this in the garbage? It wouldn't change, would it? If we still made really big, big cars and they used a ton and ton of gas, would anything change? Would greenhouse gas emissions go down? No, right. So if we want things to change, we have to change them, right? Yeah. If we want things to change, we have to change them. Well, in the story that Lee read today, which is kind of confusing, and I'm going to help the grown-ups, I hope, understand it a little bit, but a new king came into Israel, and he didn't want to change anything. He said, everything that my father did when he was the king, I'm going to do. And guess what? The people were not happy. Because their father, although he was a great king, kind of wasted stuff. He used a lot of stuff. And it cost the people all kinds of money, and they had to give their crops and stuff to the king in order to do things. And the people said, we need to change. We can't keep doing this. And the new king that came and said, too bad, so sad. I'm going to keep doing things the way that I want. And you know what happened? The people were sad. Yeah. And some of the people said, we're not going to follow you as king anymore. We're going to go somewhere and we hope we're going to make a kingdom that will do things that will look after one another and look after the planet and those sorts of things. So that's what we have to do as well. We have to be able to use our voices and say, you know what? God wants us to care for our planet because we don't have another one, do we? This is the only one we got. We've got to care for it. And we can say, you know what? We're not going to do some of the things that we did when previous generations. I'm not going to do the same things that my parents did. I'm going to try and do better. That's not that I think that they were bad or bad people, but I think God calls me to do something better. So that's our call as people who follow Jesus, is to learn what we did in the past and to do better, whether it's in our own lives or in the whole of the world, okay? And that's going to be kind of the story from 1 Kings this morning. Let's have a little prayer together. Thank you, God, for the ways in which you tell us to do new things. Help us to be prepared to do good things in the future. To look after one another and our planet. A wonderful gift from you. Amen. Amen. All right. And we're going to sing this morning. I'm going to shout out my love for Jesus. Jesus taught us to do new things, to not do things different that we did before. So this is a dancing around kind of clapping kind of song. So I think we need to stand up. What do you think? Yeah? Okay. Let's do that. Ready? Here we go. I'm going to shout. Sunday school programming for you upstairs. choir, Charles. Beautiful. Pause with me for a moment of prayer. Oh God, may the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts find their source in you, our rock and our strength. Amen. So one of the beauties of following a lectionary or a prescribed series of readings through the course of a church year is that you have a sense of what's sort of coming up, what's coming next. And if we follow, as many of us did for many years, the Revised Common Lectionary, we knew every 3 years a particular passage was going to come up. We've used the last year or so the narrative lectionary. It's a little bit different. So this is the first time I'm encountering some of these passages, like the one from today, 1 Kings. So I look at a passage every once in a while and I go, hey, that's good. That'll preach. I can do this. Sunday afternoon last week when I was doing some meditation and reflection to put on the online Bible study based on Facebook, I looked at the passage from today and went, what on earth am I going to do with that? Like, really? I wanted to call the people who created the lectionary and said, what are you thinking? Like, do you not think of us poor preachers here? Come on. So anyways, I had a look at it, and it is a very small portion of our scriptures, but it's confusing at best, and at worst, it assumes a lot greater knowledge of our Bible than probably most of us have. So I'm going to give you like a 2-minute précis of where it is we find this passage. I actually had to open up the whiteboard in the meeting room this last week for the Tuesday Morning Thinkers Bible Study Group and draw it out for them because it's a little bit confusing, but I think I got a handle on it. So here we go. Stay with me here now. David, great king of Israel. I say great in quotes because we all remember last year when we encountered David and Bathsheba and that whole thing, not so great. But anyway, David, father of Solomon. We remember Solomon, 800 wives and concubines, right? Great guy, right, sure. Okay, so David is the father of Solomon. Solomon's the father of Rehoboam, who we encounter today. Now, so we have Rehoboam, who is ascending to the throne of the United Kingdom of Israel. Now, Solomon had an advisor, Jeroboam. Jeroboam and Solomon have a falling out in that Jeroboam is threatening to lead a rebellion against Solomon. So Jeroboam flees to Egypt. So he's in Egypt. Solomon continues to reign in Israel. And then Solomon dies and Rehoboam is ascending to the throne. Word gets to Jeroboam, and Jeroboam comes back from Egypt. Are you with me so far? Good, good. So that's where we pick up the reading today. Jeroboam has returned from Egypt, and he calls on Rehoboam to do better than his father. One of the problems that Jeroboam had with Solomon was that Solomon was He was a Donald Trump. He was rich. And he just wanted to be richer and richer. Not trying to denigrate. And he just wanted it all. I went to a lecture given by great theologian Walter Brueggemann, who kind of expounded on Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 4 reads this. Solomon's provisions for one day. This is one day. This is what Solomon had every day. In one day, he had 30 cores, which is an ancient unit of measure, equaling 1,350 gallons of flour. So 1,350 gallons of flour, 60 cores, or 2,270 gallons of meal, so like cornmeal, that sort of thing. He had 10 fat oxen, 20 pasture-fed cattle, 100 sheep, besides deer, gazelles, roebucks, and fatted fowl. End quote. Every day, that's what he had. And where did he get all that stuff? from the people. That is the excess of Solomon. So Jeroboam has a legitimate complaint on behalf of his people, and he knows he's right because he's in the midst of the administration. So he becomes a whistleblower in modern terms. So Jeroboam comes back and he says, look, you know, I loved your dad, you know, we worked together, but he was wrong. He was wrong. And you have a chance, you could do better. He leads this delegation of people up to petition Rehoboam to do better. So Rehoboam says, look, go away for 3 days and let me have some consultation time. So first Rehoboam consults with the older advisors. And I think the older advisors are feeling a little bit guilty. They saw what had happened. And they say, you know what, Rehoboam, maybe you should listen to the people. Maybe Jeroboam is right. Maybe we should sort of, you know, practice a little austerity in the administration here. And then Rehoboam also goes to his younger advisors, the young people who grew up with him on the gravy train. And they saw it pulling into the station and they were worried that they were going to have to get off. And they said, no, we want our turn on the gravy train. We want to ride this one as far as it'll go. Tell Jeroboam to take a flying leap. Which is what Rehoboam chooses to do. And he denigrates, I mean, it's not hard to denigrate someone who's had those sorts of excesses, but he denigrates his father and he says, my little finger is thicker than my father's loins. That's a wonderful phrase, isn't it? Whereas my father laid a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. Where my father disciplined you with whips, I will discipline you with scorpions. In other words, I got a little pinky. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, right? A little pinky that's bigger than my father's. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, blank, blank, right? Are we getting it here? Like this was pretend you're on the street, right? This is the conversation. This, if it sounds vulgar, that's because it is. So you know that once a couple of guys start getting together and having that kind of dialogue, you know there is no possibility for compromise anywhere, right? Because it's one-upmanship, right? The biblical times are not much different than today. Really, they're not, which is one of the reasons why they're such a great thing for us to look at and go, hey, how could we do things differently? So after this, Rehoboam becomes king of Judah in the north, and Jeroboam becomes king of Israel, sometimes called Samaria, sometimes called Ephraim in the south. So the kingdom is divided. It becomes that bad that there is this civil war, basically. The kingdom's divided, and they will never, ever be the United Kingdom of Israel ever again. And the 10 tribes of the southern kingdom, they will become lost. They become the hated Samaritans of Jesus' day. It signals the end of the United Kingdom of Israel that lasts only for the reigns of David and Solomon, because they allowed their personal gain and prestige to obscure their duty to their people and their fidelity to God. That's the lesson from 1 Kings today. In the last 7 days, we as Canadians have participated in our democratic process. The weeks leading up to the campaign and in the campaign itself produced some very disheartening language. Very disheartening ways of speaking about each other, not just between the candidates, but between Canadians. We forgot, I think, who we were. Each one of us, and I, like others, have been as guilty as the other on one level or another. One of the things we didn't hear in the campaign, or we rarely heard, was a challenge to do better. We regularly heard a dehumanization and denouncement of other people rather than policy. We heard a tearing apart of people's identities rather than an examination of facts. And as I reflected this week on this passage, I saw in our country, in the passage from 1 Kings today in some ways. We've allowed the idea of getting ahead at the cost of the other to be touted as the best way. The only way our standards of living can go up in the way in which we are doing things is at the expense of somebody else. That's not Jesus' way. That is not Jesus' way. We've seen people ridiculed and denounced because they believe we can't survive without this planet. We have directed that vilification at our young people. And even though votes were cast and counted, we are beginning to see people blaming one another for everything that's wrong, rather than looking inward at ourselves. We are, if political pundits are correct, heading toward a divided kingdom. But not along the lines of north and south as it was in the Bible, but perhaps east and west. Or perhaps haves and have-nots. Or perhaps indigenous and non-indigenous. Or perhaps immigrant and old stock. This doesn't have to be the way it is, though. We can listen and see the things and the places where we have done wrong. Let's call it that. We done wrong. And we can change. We can build a better country for indigenous and non-indigenous people, for new and long-time immigrants, for binary and non-binary people, for all people. We can look to God and to God's call for us to be stewards of creation. And that not only includes the natural world, but the created world as well. We must stop looking at the outside of people and the outside of the planet and start to look with what lies within. What lies within each and every person, what lies within our planet, is the very image of God. God's image is in us, and God's image is found in everything in our universe. God's image is found in every star and every microbe. And we need to stop comparing the girth of our loins and start measuring the openness of our hearts. When Jesus said that a kingdom divided cannot stand, he was accused of being Satan. Even though he was casting out Satan, if you read the verse before. We cannot denounce one another. We cannot step on the backs of our sisters and brothers to be elevated. Rather, we must draw side by side. We must hold one another close to each other. We must walk together. And we must look into our sisters and brothers' eyes and see the face of God in them. And we must act so that they will see the face of God in us as well. I've said on many occasions that as Christians, as followers of Jesus, it is for us to participate in the work of Tikkun Olam, the healing of creation. So let us heal one another. Let us find a better way to live in God's world. We must raise the voice of God in our world. We must live the life of Jesus in our world. We must be the creating force of the Holy Spirit in our world. It is the mission of the church. It is our mission. May it be so in us. Amen. Thank you, Charles. Are there announcements that need to be shared this morning? Dynamic duo.
5:30 this evening, potluck and auction. Bring your family, bring your friends for a really good food and a great time.
The items are all out in the hall now, if you want to have a look. As you go in the door, all the things on the right-hand side are silent auction items. There are sheets to put your name and a bid. The other side is the regular auction, which will start later, but you can pre-bid. There's a bid forms and pencils on the table. There's a little plastic bucket that I will recycle later. If you are not coming tonight and there's something there that you would really like, if you would like to fill out one of those bid forms with a maximum bid you would go to, put your name and phone number so that we can call you if you get that item. And come and enjoy. Thanks.
Jill.
Good morning, everyone. Jill Brogan. I just wanted to give you guys an update on a little recap on our last spring's dinner theater, because, you know, we get so busy. I'm up here and my actors and my cast, everybody's up here talking about ticket sales and come on out, and then we have a fantastic run and then everybody's tired and then it's summertime and where does the time go? So I wanted to come up today and give you guys just a little update on how our Sailing Away run went. So I took a few minutes last night and actually wrote something out. I'm usually do it off the cuff, but I'm just going to kind of look at my notes here. So I just wanted to tell you, for those of you who may not know or may not remember, dinner theater here at Cole Harbor Woodside United actually began back in 2003. And I don't even think we were Cole Harbor Woodside then. We were probably just Cole Harbor. I'm not sure when I can't remember when we all came together. Okay. So in 2003, the first play was done as a youth group project, and it was called Can't Buy Me Love. So it was so much fun. It was done out in the hall, and everybody had such a great time that I guess it just began to become a tradition. And it's a tradition that's become just such an intergenerational and total full-on church community event. So this year, we did the production Stealing Away, of which I know a lot of people came to. It was between May the 2nd and Saturday, May the 11th. We had a fantastic crew, a cast of 18 people, which was complemented by our amazing 9-piece band, Southern Comfort, whose voices and instruments bring another dimension and a whole new zest to our shows. I want to thank all of those people because they're amazing. We had 4 regular shows with the traditional roast beef dinner, 1 dress rehearsal, which we jazzed up with meatballs, salad, and rice, and we even had an afternoon dessert theater that was thrown in kind of at the last minute. With our early bird special of $35 per ticket or $40 after a certain date, we sold out those sales really quickly. In all, we served, and I say we collectively, we served a total of 640 guests, and we had ticket sales of 641 tickets. Now, the reason that's a little different is because we have a few freebies, and we have people who buy tickets but then don't come out. But that's pretty amazing, amazing. So by a show of hands, can you tell me, of people who are here today, how many people came out to one of those shows? Yeah, right on. Awesome, hey? Exactly. And wouldn't you agree that it was a really fun evening or afternoon and well worth the price of admission?
Amen.
I think so. And you know that to pull off a production like this requires a lot of helping hands, right? Like a lot, many, many, many. You know, not only do we have our actors and our musicians, we have our technical who show up every week and practice and practice. They are the heartbeat as well. I'm just one small component, and everybody makes up those components. But put together, we make a well-oiled machine, baby, and we do it right. So, let's see, I went off script here. Okay. So not only do we have our actors, our musicians, our technical people, we have our amazing kitchen crew. And we also have the folks that do all kinds of other things. So this is not an exhaustive list because I can't think of everything that's done. But just to give you an idea, we have people that prepare the sanctuary. So you know all those pews? I'd really love to have the pews gone because chairs are so much easier to move around. But anyway, those of you who love pews, they're here, they're going to stay, I guess. So the pews have to be moved out. The sanctuary has to be prepared. We have the sets to build and to dress. We sell tickets, sell advertising for our program, design the program and the poster, order and purchase the food and the wine, donate the food, set up the tables, cook the roasts, cook the vegetables, mash the potatoes, plate the desserts, do all kinds of things, feed our cast, clean up, run the dishwasher a gajillion times, box extra meals to sell to raise more money, and all of the running around that goes along with this. So there's a lot of activity that happens to pull this off, but it is so worth it. At Cole Harbour Woodside United Church, we are truly blessed. I really believe it, that we have so many volunteers that help out with our productions. So how many here can say that you guys have helped out in some way? Just raise your hands if you've helped, if you've peeled vegetables, donated food, run around, done anything. A lot of people. And from the bottom of my heart, I would like to thank each and every one of you so much for your dedication to the productions. I know that our church embodies an attitude of gratitude in all that we do. And I know that when we put our mind to things, we do it really, really well, and we will reach our goals. So why do we do this? Why do we do this? It's a lot of work. Why do we do it? There's a whole lot of reasons. For one, it's really fun, and it lets our inner thespians shine, or our inner lights come out. It lets us have a lot of fun. It's intergenerational. Where else do you, what other church function do you have where you can bring 10-year-olds and 80-year-olds together every week and have a good time? I mean, we're here, but it's so much fun. But what's the other big reason we do this? Money! We do need to have some money, right? So, how much money do you think we made that we were able to raise for the church this year? Any ideas? We raised, are you ready? Do we have a drum? Can you make a pretend drum roll? We raised, and this is profit, okay? Roughly $18,000. Okay? That can go a long, long way. That's a lot of money to raise. And yeah, if you worked it out by the number of hours that's put in, it probably isn't that great. But the total production to bring that in is amazing, and that's what was raised for the church. That's clear of our expenses. So in me telling you all these things, and I'll stop in a second, wouldn't you agree that this project is really well worth the effort? Yes. And we really have to keep it going? Yes. And we have to get the volunteerism? Yes. Okay, so this is where my pitch comes. So this season, things are going to be changing a little bit. Our kitchen crew have decided to retire after many years of their dedicated service. And they don't want me to make a big deal out of it, so I promised that I wouldn't. But Gail Crooks, Susan Grant, and Bill Middleton, who have been phenomenal in their dedication to our kitchen and providing the most wonderful, flary, beautiful meals, are taking a step back this year. And so I really hope that this year they could just come and enjoy the production for once, instead of being out back in the kitchen running around and keeping all of us in order. So what it means is that, alas, we are going to require a new kitchen crew for this spring's production of Who Knew? That's the name of the production. So who knew and who knows who this kitchen crew might be? However, I have a plan. So I have a plan to enlist a group of what I call willing workers, okay? So anybody with 2 feet and a heartbeat can become a willing worker. So that means pretty much all of you. Once I have all the details worked out, we'll have a specific range of tasks for people to do. So it's not like you're going to be thrown into the kitchen and say, here, can you make all these meals for us? No, we're not going to do that. We're going to have actual tasks. If you like to, maybe you like to cook. Like maybe you really love mashing potatoes or making gravy or slicing beef. Or maybe you're really comfortable in the kitchen and you're actually better at organizing and planning. Maybe you're great at shopping. Maybe you don't like to cook, like me. Like, I don't like to cook, so cooking is not my thing. But maybe you're really good at cleanup. I am awesome at cleanup. Maybe you like to serve wine. There's so many things that need to be done, and I know if we break them down into, pardon the pun, but bite-sized pieces, we'll be able to get this all done. And we'll do just as well next year and the year after that as we have in the past years. So I know that with your help and God willing, our 2020 dinner theater show entitled Who Knew, which is in my brain now, not on paper, but it's in there, will be an amazing success. And you just need to think about the talents that you have so that you can become a part of our success. I'm going to be calling on folks early in the spring, early in the new year, so we can make the plan. And I know that we can do it. All I'm going to ask you to do is to commit to a few hours. Just a few hours, maybe one weekend, over 2 weekends, whatever you're comfortable to do. And I know we're going to make this production amazing. So with that, I just want to, I just have a little something here from our dinner theater cast and crew and tech, from all of us at dinner theater, to say thank you to Susan and Bill. I already talked to Gail out in the parking lot. I actually was here on time. I was talking to Gail in the parking lot. So just so you know, I made sure I was here, but then I got delayed anyway. So I just have a little something here from all of us, and I would like to present to Bill and to Susan just to say thank you so much. We really, really appreciate all that you have done.
Mike, I got a couple of announcements. I'm going to do them from back here. That's a hard act to follow, but I'll try. Tuesday night is Church in the Pub, 7 o'clock, Gordon Rose's house. Next Sunday morning, I guess, clocks roll back, so there's no excuse for being late next week. And next Sunday after service, there will be a special congregational meeting, and this is to discuss the associate minister's position.
Back to you.
It took three of mine, so that's good. just a note, this morning we offer our prayers of condolence to the family of Fred Wright. Fred and his wife Vivian, who passed away last year, were folks from Coal Harbour, from Woodside originally, very deeply involved in the congregation there at Woodside. Fred was a police officer here in Dartmouth for many, many years, and so we had a celebration of his life yesterday at the Atlantic Memorial Gardens. We are saddened to announce the passing of Dave Banks this last week. So Dave's service will be held next Sunday, the 3rd, after service at 2 o'clock in the afternoon here at Coal Harbour Woodside. We will gather to celebrate Dave and his life, and as well as the work he shared amongst us and with us in this place. We're expecting it to be a fairly large service, and so Adele is asking if you can help with the reception in some way. Please see her following the service this morning. She's got a clipboard, and she'd be happy to sign you up for one small thing or another. I'm away on a week of Con Ed this coming week. The pastoral care team will be meeting Wednesday morning in the meeting room as per usual, and so members of the pastoral care team, please do continue with that. Some of us did show up for church in a pub this last week because we agreed it was the fourth Tuesday. There are five Tuesdays this month. Threw people off. That's okay. So church in a pub, guys, have a great week this week. I will be in Tatamagush. Jennifer has pastoral care, emergency pastoral care contacts in the office. So if anything arises, please give her a call, and she will put you in touch with more than likely the Reverend Phil Kennedy from Woodlawn United Church. Those are the announcements that I needed to share. I think that's everything. Oh, Heather. Oh, that's right. Matilda Thornhill will be 91 this week. Whoa. Blessings to Matilda. God continue to bless you, Matilda. Our moment for mission and service. Cindy and Susanna.
Youth programs and youth pilgrims. 13th Youth Forum pilgrims were on a journey during the summer of 2018. After work and orientation in their home conferences, they traveled east to Newfoundland. With their two young adult leaders and a global partner, these dedicated young people visited each conference of the United Church. They stopped in Oshawa, Ontario, in July to participate as commissioners at the 43rd General Council, and then continued their pilgrimage, ending in British Columbia in mid-August. Building on the theme of Rendezvous 2017, these young people deepened their understanding of what it means to be the church, soyons l'église, in this time of change and challenge. The youth were selected by peers from their home conference at a youth forum winter retreat held in February 2018. At the retreat, 60 youth gathered to learn what a remit was, gain insight into how business would be carried out at General Council, and immerse themselves in the issues and concerns facing the United Church. They also spent time in worship, small groups, and played games and other activities.
The pilgrimage invited participants to deepen their experiences as they visited Indigenous communities, met migrant workers, learned about justice issues related to mining and fair trade, witnessed the work of social justice ministries and camps, and worshipped and celebrated with many communities of faith across the church. They came home changed, challenged, and ready to lead in ministry. How will you walk with a youth forum pilgrim from your region? If mission and service giving is already a regular part of your life, thank you so much. If you've not given, please join me in making mission and service giving a regular part of your life of faith. Loving our neighbor is at the heart of our mission and service.
Thanks, Cindy and Susanna. In that spirit, then, we continue to worship as we present our gifts and our offerings.
Thank you.
together as found in your bulletins today. Throughout our scriptures, God, you command us to care for those in need in our community, in our country, and in our world. You call on us to provide for each other's needs and respect the dignity of all people. Your realm imagines a place when all are afforded the chance to live and work in justice. We find that we have not lost anything, but rather we have gained more than we could have imagined. As we bring our place, our part, and our living to work today, we participate with you in the coming of your realm. In grace we have been freely, and in love you joyfully call us to imitate you. These gifts bear witness to the justice for which you long, and our faithful response to the loving care we find in you. Amen. Thank you. Please have a seat. Thank you, Sam. We pause for a brief time of prayer. Let us pray. Oh God, you continually show us the way ahead, the way forward, the way in which we are called to be your people in this place and in this time. Sometimes you do so by the inspiration of amazing innovation and wonder that makes life better for so many people. In other times, you call us to turn around and to look back at where from we, the place from which we have come. To look back with eyes of understanding and see the achievements we've made, the places we've grown. And looking back sometimes helps us to look forward at the places we still need to go. In the stories from our scriptures, we see time and time again the ways in which, even though those events were thousands of years ago, they are still relevant to us today. May we truly hear the story from 1 Kings this morning. May we see the folly of both Rehoboam and Jeroboam. And may we understand the ways in which you call us forward. May we, as your people gathered here at Cole Harbor Woodside United Church, may we take up that mantle of leadership into your way. May we speak truth to power. May we call for justice and equity. May we stand beside those who have been cast aside. And may we hold our heads up and the heads of others up as intrinsically needed to be the complete family of humanity, created in you and in your image. We care for one another in this place, O God. You call us as Cole Harbor Woodside United Church to be a light in this community. You call us to the care and comfort of Christ. You draw us in for worship, and then you send us into the world, gifted, called, and equipped to serve. Bless us as we seek to follow that mission you have laid before us. Help us to hold one another in prayer in our need and in our success. In the place in which we can celebrate the wondrous abundance. In the places in which we need to grow more love, more hope, more dignity, more joy. We hold one another in prayer this day, O God. We think particularly of those who mourn, and we think of our own families of Fred Wright, his daughter Eleanor. We think of Sherry and the children as they mourn Dave's passing. Think of those who are in hospital and in nursing home, those who need our care and our visits, as well as the visits of healthcare professionals, doctors, nurses, interns, those who look after them. Help us to reach out in places where we can. Help us to pray for those for whom we have care. As today we name Rachel and Chris, and Gary, and Carolyn, Hannah, Nancy, Faith and Dorothy, Simon, Sean, Richard, Eric, Joy, Barbara, Gary, Chris, Heather, Wayne, Suzanne, Donna, Marie, Lloyd, Neil, Millie, Matilda. Those names on our prayer list and those that are known in our hearts and those that are known only to you inspire our lives to intersect with theirs. Walk with us, God, as we conclude our worship this day and move out into your world, that we might go as your people. May our prayers be gathered this day by the words that Jesus taught his followers that they might say, as we pray together, either in ways that we are known that are known to us from childhood or those that are shared in our bulletins this morning. As we say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We close our worship with the singing of 507 in Voices United. Today we all are called to be.